Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's homily on this, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, is the Holy Gospel. The topic for today's sermon: the church smells like fish. Well, I'm going to commence my sermon with a preface, an introduction to the sermon. I have been in the ministry for 55 years. I have accumulated 5 large file boxes, and they contain printed copies of every sermon I have preached in those 55 years on Sunday morning services and during the holy days. Well, that's a lot of sermons. I never counted them. I got them cross-referenced. I could pick out any one you want. Very, very seldom did I ever preach a sermon the second time. The week after Easter this year, I was asked to lead 2 worship services one morning at one of the local Lutheran churches. It's a custom that many pastors take off the week after Easter because they have worked the whole Lenten season and Holy Week, and they want a Sunday off. And so quite often, I would fill in for a pastor the Sunday after Easter. My wife and son attended one of those services. Later that Sunday afternoon, both my wife and son spoke in unison. "You should preach that sermon at Grace Lutheran Church this summer when Pastor Weldon is at the conventions in Milwaukee and New Orleans." Well, I had to think that one over a little bit. So here we are. A very unusual situation. The repeat of a sermon entitled, "The Church Smells Like Fish." John Steinbeck is a famous author. In one of the books that used to be mandatory in high schools for the high school students to read was Of Mice and Men. The book quoted by Steinbeck had a phrase: "The best laid plans for mice and men may go astray." Well, let's use that phrase this morning as we commence the homily on this, the ninth Sunday in the Pentecost season. The best laid plans of both mice and men may go astray. I shall tell you of an incident that happened a number of years ago. A Lutheran congregation agreed to host an all-seminary male chorus during the chorus's spring break. It was a package deal. First of all, the congregation was to provide the evening meal. The choristers were to sing. And afterwards, families of the congregation were to host the men in their homes. On the evening of the concert, tables were set, food was prepared. A phone call informed the church that the bus had broken down in a one-horse town. The town had 1 grocery store, 2 gas stations, and 3 taverns or bars. The choir director asked if the church members were willing to wait. They would postpone the dinner until after the concert, and the choir members would warm up on the bus and would rush into the church to find their places to stand in order to sing. No robes. The bus arrived. The seminarians rushed into the church trying to find a place to stand in this very strange church they had never been in before. And the students looked ghastly. Many of them were unshaven. Their clothing was disarray, not to talk about the mismatched colors of the clothing they wore. The director was in a sport coat. That was different than his usual tuxedo. The baton was raised, and the ensuing music was glorious, magnificent. Someone once later said, it was worth it to be there to experience the contrast. And the person went on to say, they looked like hell, but they sounded like heaven. As the great anthems issued forth from the mouths of those seminarians, there seemed to creep back, pew by pew in the church, a funny odor. These men who were singing the glorious songs of the church smelled like beer. The gospel for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost takes us to the shores of the Sea of Galilee, to the Lake of Tiberias, where the church smelled like fish. The one holy Catholic Church smelled like fish. There at the seashore was the majority of the apostles. At any rate, there was a quorum. Here were the future leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ on earth, and they smelled like fish. The disciples of Jesus acted less than apostolic. Take Peter, for example. He was the ringleader. Peter is in a fishing boat, stripped to the waist, fishing. Fishing was a man's job in those days, a man's work. When the figure on the shore was recognized as Jesus, bold Peter grabs a garment, puts it on, jumps over, and swims to the shore. The area around the Sea of Galilee is sheep country. And the garb that Peter put on was probably made of wool. And when Peter came out of the water on the shore, he must have looked a sorry sight. A wet woolen garment, not to mention how he smelled. Then Peter helped the disciples drag in the whole net of fish, 153, the Bible tells us, and you know how fish smell. My wife and I have been on the shores of the Sea of Galilee in the town of Tiberias. Up early one morning, I ventured down to the area where the fishermen were just coming in from their night's catch. I learned a lot about how people fish in the Sea of Galilee. They fish by what is called gilling. It's illegal on Lake Erie. What you do is you throw a net into the sea, and the fish come and they get their gills caught in the net. So the morning I was there, I was watching the fishermen down by the seashore at the nets, taking the fish out of the nets, one by one, and throwing them into boxes, which later would be taken to market to be sold. Well, when Peter and the other fishermen arrived on shore, it was breakfast time. There was a charcoal fire, there were some fish that had been caught, and there was some bread. And, of course, the wet, smelly fishermen. As a member of a Bible class once observed, and that was Peter, whom the Roman Catholic Church elected Pope? Yes, these were the men to whom the Lord committed the spreading of the gospel to the world. Bumbling, inept, well-meaning, but confused, smelly fishermen. These were the apostles whom Jesus depended upon to build the one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. These were the men for whom we set aside particular days on the church calendar in remembrance of their names. We changed the paramins to a red color. The pastor wears red stoles in remembrance of these apostles who were smelly and down by the lake in order that they might give their lives eventually for Jesus. God did what seemed impossible. He used down to earth, down to sea, fishermen, in order to proclaim the gospel to the whole world. Somehow, God still does the same impossible things. God calls you and me to be the apostolic church. He allows us to be spreaders of the message of life and salvation to all mankind. And who are we? But miserable sinners, bumblers, inept. We are certainly not perfect. Today, the church may smell like fish, or beer, or peanut butter, or baby oil, or manure. Yet God uses us, unlikely creatures that we are, to bear his name as well as the cross of Jesus Christ. That God calls to you and me is a sign of his amazing grace. God has called you and me in the washing of holy baptism. God keeps us feeding with his body and blood in the bread and wine, that we might have the strength to be his apostolic church on earth. By God's grace of word and sacraments, we join those apostles, those disciples, the elders of the church, the angels in heaven, to be his witnesses. This is the Pentecost season. It's a six-month period in the church, from the Sunday after Easter all the way until we get to Advent. It's a time when we say, let's put our faith into action. It's by their deeds that you know them, says the scripture. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. May God use us, smelly as we are, to be fishers of men for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.